Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Hey guys, it's Chris again. Welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. And as always, my name is Chris and I talk about games. So, yeah, crazy thing, we're on episode 36 now, which is insane considering I thought I'd just do this as a bit of fun. But yeah, I got some interesting bits of news and then looking at quite an interesting subject this week. It is subject of acquisitions of game companies. So, let's get stuck into the news in a sec. So, here's the news. Okay, first up. So, in the last 2 weeks, pre-orders for the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series S and Series X have gone live. And on both counts, there have been some quite major issues. PlayStation and Sony in particular have been hit quite hard with their pre-order issues. Largely due to the fact that earlier in the summer, on the Summer Games Fest with Jeff Keighley, a member of Sony's marketing team did say specifically that there would not be any mass scramble for PlayStation 5 pre-orders. They would announce when you could pre-order it, so you wouldn't be kind of drawn into a massive kind of race to try and get one and risk losing out because you didn't know what was going on. When in reality, that's exactly what happened. At the end of their PlayStation 5 showcase, Sony did not reveal a date for pre-orders. And so companies went live with them. Because one company went live, everyone else just put their pre-orders online. And yeah, it went a bit crazy with the Xbox pre-orders, PlayStation 5 pre-orders. And lots of places sold out before they even had a chance to... before a lot of people had a chance to look at them, really. So yeah, Sony did have a bit of a nightmare of theirs, and then Microsoft did take the different approach. It did announce a day for pre-orders, so they announced it as the 22nd of September. It was all good and fine, but there are reports of multiple websites crashing. In the UK, the game website crashed completely. They couldn't get the pre-orders on the game website. In the States, the Microsoft website crashed. I think in general, just lots of sites crashed. A lot of retailers had issues where the carts weren't working, probably so you couldn't add them into your cart and things like that. So yeah, it's a bit of a weird thing, like, with all these pre-orders, people knew they were going to go crazy. I think Sony mismanaged their thing completely, especially after they did say that they were going to have a system in place where they're going to announce pre-order date. And because they just didn't, it really did kind of mess up the system completely. And with Microsoft, I think even though the companies knew when it's going live, for whatever reason the websites weren't ready to facilitate that. A lot of it does come down to the talk about bots as well. A lot of people are employing bots to swoop in and buy these consoles as soon as they do go live. So yeah, it is causing a lot of issues, especially with scalpers using the bots and putting them on eBay for insane prices, which is very unfortunate. I think it's Nvidia who did the graphics cards. They had major issues with bots where the bots kind of swooped in and took most of the stock, or large majority of the stock by the looks of it. And the graphic cards are going for insane money online. So yeah, it is a bit concerning, especially with the bot situation. I don't know if it would be worth making sure we do limit, like, with pre-orders having to limit how many consoles you could pre-order, maybe one per customer, and maybe having to verify emails and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really kind of a shame that people are just using these to to take advantage of situations, really. Yeah, that is a bit of a issue that has hit the pre-orders for both PlayStation 5 and the Series S and X. Made it very difficult to find them online a lot of the time. I was lucky, fortunately, I've managed to pre-order a Series X. I did it by going into the game, my nearby game in town. Yeah, went in there and pre-ordered it manually and or physically. And I have actually managed to pre-order it through the All Access as well, which is useful for me. It means I don't have to pay the £450 straight up. And the last 2 years, I do get the Ultimate Game Pass included. So that's my online gaming and Game Pass all sorted. So that's all good. No Matt from the Game Junkies has secured a Series S for launch day as well. So yes, that's good. I had a bit of PS5. I think I'm going to wait a bit for PS5. I don't have the money for both systems at launch. And because they come out so close together, I don't really think I can justify buying two systems. And for me, in terms of money and games, I think the the Xbox Series X makes more sense because of the Game Pass aspect. Just opens up a lot more games straight away for me. Makes it a lot more affordable, really, especially with the All Access. But yeah, please let me know if you got caught up any of the chaos and if you managed to get your pre-orders in or if you missed out. I know they are releasing more stock every now and again. Like, I know the UK had more stock of PS5 available to pre-order today. But I game have tweeted out since they are now out of stock again. The PS5 seems to be going quickly, and I know they are meant to be giving out more pre-orders close to date, so like drip feed once they can guarantee numbers, I guess. So on to the next bit of news. Nintendo has been up to their tricks and dropping things again. The time recording, they have dropped a trailer for the fall or autumn update for Animal Crossing, which launches on the 30th of September, which prepares your island for Halloween. Looks pretty cool, looks really interesting. But the main thing that Nintendo have been up to is they kind of leaked a game and then shadow dropped it. The game in question is Kirby Fighters 2. It's basically where you choose to play as a Kirby with different copy abilities. So there's about 17 different Kirbys, effectively. There's a fighting game where you choose one of the fighters and then battle it out. I think the first one was a DS or 3DS game, I think. But yeah, it got leaked on their website. I showed up as a page on one of their websites, and then literally a few hours later, they end up shadow dropping it. Or like, they took the page down and then just kind of dropped the trailer on YouTube and released the game. So yeah, I think it shows Nintendo does have stuff kind of ready to go. A lot of people were speculating on a new Kirby game at some point, so whether this is what they're speculating about will be interesting to see. But yeah, it looks pretty fun. I've not really played as Kirby Fighter series, but looks like a kind of Smash Brothers style affair, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but could be pretty fun. And the last bit of news is Konami have been heavily rumoured to be doing a re-release of Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2, particularly on PC, because there is a rating that got leaked saying that Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 are coming, potentially collections as well. So yeah, it looks like Konami are looking into doing stuff with Metal Gear Solid, and I know it sounds kind of weird saying it, but more in the gaming sphere, because they have been doing a lot more like pachinko machines and licensing their IPs out, such as like the Castlevania Netflix series, things like that. So I think it's fair to say that Konami are kind of going a bit more slower with their game releases now. Yeah, it's good to see Metal Gear Solid back in the news, hopefully for good reason. Another rumour that has sparked up since that leaked rating for the PC game is the fact that Sony may be bankrolling a proper remake of first Metal Gear Solid. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see if there is a proper Metal Gear Solid kind of remake. And if Sony are bankrolling it, that could be a big get for the console. Yeah, so it could be interesting to see if that does indeed pan out to be true. Because the original rumour was very much around Silent Hill, that Sony were licensing the Silent Hill IP from Konami. We're going to make a game or a remake, so that's another one that would be interesting to see, whether they both do materialise. That could be quite interesting to see anyway, so so yeah, some interesting news this episode, so I think with that done, now move on to the main event. Okay, so on to the main topic of conversation this week, which is the topic of gaming acquisitions. It's basically looking back at various different instances of game companies buying out other game companies. This is kind of sparked by the news this week that Microsoft has bought ZeniMax, which is the parent company of Bethesda, for $7.5 billion. So looking at this news, I thought I'd look back at some other acquisitions and kind of look at what's happened with those acquisitions since, in the time since, really. So I thought it'd be quite interesting to look at. But yeah, I see this is the big news this week. We're going to start off with Microsoft, because Microsoft have quite a reputation for acquisitions. Starting really back in the early 2000s when Microsoft bought Rare. Yeah, Microsoft, when they first launched the Xbox, wanted a kind of big name developer, so they swooped in and bought Rare. Rare had at that point been like a second party developer for Nintendo, so not really owned by Nintendo, but they did a lot of work for Nintendo. And took a lot of brands with them, which I didn't realize weren't Nintendo really. So the likes of Banjo-Kazooie, Jet Force Gemini, Perfect Dark, all iconic N64 games published by Nintendo. But the IPs were owned by Rare, so Rare ended up taking those IPs with them into the Microsoft fold. It's fair to say Rare have had a bit of a rocky time in Microsoft. Like, they've had a few game releases, but nothing's been standout or incredible, really. It's Gone with the Ghouls, I think, was their first Xbox title. And they had Cameo, which was on Xbox 360, which was pretty cool. Viva Pinata series had a bit of a success. They've had like middling success, but not had the runaway success they had with Nintendo. And it kind of changed with Sea of Thieves. It was like their first games as a service game, so I think it launched all right. Didn't get any killer reviews where it launched initially, but as it's grown, developed, and expanded through the games as a servicing, it has got a lot more of a better reputation from people. I mean, it's a game I've not played myself, so I can't really comment on it. But I do have it on Game Pass, so I do want to try and get stuck into it at some point. But yeah, so Rare are still going. I think it'd be good to see something come from the Banjo-Kazooie franchise. A lot of people are hoping they might have some news about that for the Xbox Series X by now, but no such luck yet. But yeah, looking back, got some more examples of some acquisitions. One that did surprise a hell of a lot of people at the time, because it was an unexpected move, was Square Enix buying out Eidos and Crystal Dynamics. Eidos and Crystal Dynamics were, of course, legendary for the Tomb Raider series. That is their best known property. There were other titles as well they were responsible for, but I think the Tomb Raider franchise is the main reason they got snapped up. I heard it were officially up for sale for quite a while. A lot of people were expecting someone like EA to jump in and get them, but when it was finally announced that they'd been bought, Square Enix was a bit of a surprise. But to be fair, Square Enix have done quite well by them. They've successfully cut up. In my opinion, they successfully rebooted the Tomb Raider series. The Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and Rise of the Tomb Raider, all been fairly well received. The rebooted Tomb Raider game did inspire a reboot of the film franchise as well. Yeah, it was a very surprising one, but it has since done quite well. I'd say the three Tomb Raider games have done fairly well. I think they've done, as the series went on, they dropped off slightly more each time. But they are impressive games that do look good. And more recently, Eidos and Crystal Dynamics were responsible for the Avengers game, which has been a bit divisive. Like, a lot of the critics don't like it, and a lot of YouTubers don't seem to like it. But a lot of gamers do really like it. And to be fair, what I've played of it, I'm kind of as into it, and I'm really enjoying it. Like, I really like the story. I really like the introduction of Miss Marvel, where they're kind of telling it through a new superhero's eyes, entering the world of the Avengers. I think the gameplay has potential to potentially get a bit repetitive, but the fact that each character does control so differently does kind of mix things up again and mix up a bit and make the game more interesting in a way. Everyone's got their own favourite characters out to play as. I am enjoying what I play the Avengers, so yeah, I think Crystal Dynamics are doing pretty well underneath Square. I think the game did launch with a few issues, but they are working through them. Rightly or wrongly, I think there was a patch that fixed about 1,000 issues, someone said. And some of these were things pointed out by players while they're playing. But it's good they're making moves and fixing things. Yeah, another acquisition I want to talk about briefly is, going back a few years, Sega bought Index, who were bankrupt at the time. And Index are the parent company of Atlus. Atlus is notably known as, they've been around for quite a while. They did some Snowball Kids on the N64. Much more recently, they are more renowned for the Shin Megami Tensei series and more notably the Persona series. So that has brought those games into the Sega library. Yeah, like I say, Index were bankrupt at the time that they were brought out. Sega paid 14 billion yen, which I think does work out to about 100 million in today's money, so probably a bit less than that back when they bought them. But I think they probably will be a worthwhile investment because Persona games have got more and more popular, especially in more recent times. I'll say I'm absolutely loving Persona 5 Royal. I only got stuck into it. I haven't played it for about a month since we moved in. It's a bit of a shame, but I do really need to get stuck into it. Just try to find the time sometimes. Sega are doing pretty well with Atlus. The Persona series are doing great. And they are working on Shin Megami Tensei 5 for the Switch. And also the remake of Shin Megami Tensei 3. And they are looking at moving towards global launches, which is a big thing for Atlus. So yeah, there is a so that's quite a smart move from Sega there, I think. I think Atlus are getting more tempted by the idea of doing more multi-format stuff as well. I think they thought they have an exclusive, it might kind of tempt people to buy more copies of that, but with the release of Persona 4 Golden on Steam, and the success that had, it kind of seems to take Sega and Atlus a bit by surprise, but hopefully that means that they will decide to be more open with their console suggestions for the next games going forward. Yeah, moving on to my next acquisition, which is a bit of an unfortunate one, this one. I'm going to talk about Bizarre Creations. Great developers who developed the likes of F1 96 or 97. And off the back of that, got hired by Sega to do Metropolis Street Racer, which, again, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated games of all time. Should have sold so much better than it did. It's a shame. But then I did find Second Wind with the Project Gotham Racing series on Xbox. Series that did really well, really took off. And things were looking up for them. They were doing really well with the Project Gotham Racing series. So they were doing really well, that kind of stuff. And then they were bought out by Activision. Activision swooped in, bought them up in about 2007. They had a couple of games, like Geometry Wars, stuff like that. And then they had another game, which I think was massively overlooked. A game by the name of Blur. And the concept is kind of like, Project Gotham Racing meets Mario Kart. So it's more realistic cars and tracks, but you do have to have the weapons aspect as well. I enjoyed the game. I thought it was really cool. A lot of the weapons were pretty awesome, and the tracks were pretty alright, and pretty nice soundtrack. But yeah, the game didn't do as well as Activision wanted. It didn't seem to take off as well as I wanted it to, and unfortunately, Activision decided to close down Bizarre Creations in the end of January 2011. So I think Blur came out the year before, and it underperformed. So Activision just shut the studio down, which was a massive shame, I think. I'd like to think that a lot of the developers there did go on to better stuff within the industry, but just a shame to see such a talented development team like that, who were great at racing games, kind of get broken up and disbanded. But it's also going to show kind of how ruthless the gaming industry could be, like, literally, if you don't perform, you get shut down, which is harsh and potentially a bit of a waste of money. So as well, the Activision literally swooped in, kind of took the assets, and then can't see you later. It's a big shame, really. What I'm going to talk about is EA, because they have brought quite a few big studios. Getting quite a few respected teams behind them. Yeah, so most recently EA did buy Respawn Entertainment. That was in November 2017, and they paid $455 million. Yeah, so Respawn Entertainment is quite a big coup for EA. Like, obviously they have the Titanfall games, which are pretty well respected. I think Titanfall 2 is a bit unfortunate when it launched. It did launch against a couple of other big titles and kind of got lost in the shuffle a bit. But I really enjoyed Titanfall 2. I did enjoy it. Did prefer it to the first. But obviously, the Titanfall series did kind of inspire and pave the way for Apex Legends, which is the free-to-play Fortnite-style game. And another big investment that EA made was BioWare. This is back in October 2007. They actually paid $860 million at the time. So yeah, it's quite a big acquisition there. BioWare are renowned for like big open world games and big RPG style games. But they have seemed to be struggling a bit recently. So the Mass Effect Andromeda really tanked with players and critics alike. Didn't do very well. And Anthem was impressive to look at. It's a game that really didn't hold my interest very long, and it kind of did flop as well, which did mean that a lot of people were kind of on the edge about whether EA would just cut their licenses and shut down BioWare, which, considering the quality of the games they have made in the past, I think would be a massive mistake and a shame. But that's how ruthless the industry is. BioWare have got a new Dragon Age game in development, which is another franchise they are well known for. So yeah, that is something that they're looking into doing. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they do, because they are looking at fixing Anthem. They're kind of like putting a lot of resources, or not a lot of resources, but helping a team towards kind of fixing aspects of Anthem and rebuilding some of it and kind of like relaunching it. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how well that pans out and what happens with that. Going back to Eastbourne Entertainment, they did deliver EA a massive title about a year ago in the form of their Star Wars title, Fallen Order. It is one of the best received Star Wars games in many years. A lot of people really like it and enjoy it, so those are Eastbourne Entertainment are making good progress with EA, and they have kind of had some really good results, and they have kind of swayed EA away from the multiplayer and loot box filled route with the Fallen Order. Yeah, so the fact that they had a really successful single player game really does bode well for them, and people are a lot more excited to see what Respawn do have coming forward. And the game experience is not just Microsoft, they've been buying lots of studios. Obviously, EA last year, Microsoft had a load of other acquisitions to announce, kind of like the likes of Ninja Theory and Playground Games, who have done phenomenal work on the Forza series, and Ninja Theory have got like the Soul Blade series, which is doing really well. And they were responsible for the DMC reboot, which a lot of people didn't like, but I actually really enjoyed DMC. It kind of got me into the game and into the franchise, so I'm probably going to play DMC 5 or Devil May Cry 5 without playing DMC. So, you know, a lot of people do look down on DMC. I do think it is a pretty awesome game. Well, I do enjoy playing. Yeah, back to Sony. They have recently bought Insomniac. Insomniac got a great reputation in terms of platforming games and adventure games. Most notable for the Ratchet & Clank series. And they have also done Spider-Man game on PS4. And they also did Sunset Overdrive for Microsoft on the Xbox One. I actually really enjoyed Sunset Overdrive. It's quite wacky and zany, like a zombie apocalypse kind of game. And I thought I really like it, really enjoy it. So I think Microsoft do own the IP for that. So it'd be interesting to see if Microsoft do get another studio involved to try and maybe do another one. Like I say, it was a lot of fun. I did really enjoy it. So yeah, so Insomniac are now with Sony, and I think Sony are putting them to good use. So you got Spider-Man Miles Morales launching with the PlayStation 5 later this year and coming to PS4 as well. It was really good. Looks like it builds on the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game. And they are kind of, I think there is a bundle you can get on PS5, which does include the original Spider-Man game as well. For an extra $20, I think, in the US. So, the Miles Morales Ultimate Edition does kind of include both games, which is a nice touch. Ratchet & Clank Rifts Apart does look awesome. Hands down, I think Rifts Apart is the best demonstration of next-gen gameplay. Just how smooth it is and just like seamless. So I think it's really cool. I think I'm really excited to see more of that. And I think it's quite a good swoop for Sony. Quite a good studio for them to get. Obviously, they do have a lot of internal teams already. But I think Sony does seem to do more of their stuff by kind of paying for exclusives and kind of signing up exclusive games, like in the case of Final Fantasy 16, they've kind of signed up as a series as a console exclusive. So it's only whether it's like a time exclusive or it's a permanent exclusive, but has been described as a console exclusive. So might this just be PC and PlayStation 5 that the game comes to? which is a big game, a big thing for Sony to get. But yeah, it's a good thing with acquisitions. It's an easy way for companies to build IPs and libraries up. So now, the acquisition of ZeniMax has given Microsoft 8 new game studios, so up to like 23 game studios now. And like the caliber of the games they're getting is quite insane, really. So you got the likes of Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Doom. Yeah, some massive IPs are now under Microsoft's control, really. And I have said that Bethesda will still be self-publishing. So they're not, the Bethesda brand isn't going away completely. But I have said that going forward, any kind of console exclusivity will be decided on a game by game basis. I think the titles that have already been confirmed as exclusive to PlayStation 5 and etc. will still be coming. But going forward, any kind of new game titles will be announced on other consoles on a case by case basis. So, in terms of Starfield and future Elder Scrolls games, it will be interesting to see whether they do end up making their way to the PlayStation 5, or whether they are kept as Xbox exclusives, or whether they do it as a title exclusive. But again, the great thing is these games will be coming to Game Pass. So you can get the new Fallout, you can get the new Elder Scrolls straight on Game Pass on day one. Which is a clever strategy to get people to subscribe, I guess. But yeah, it's amazing how an acquisition can change a company's fortune, especially with Sega and Atlus, like the growth in Persona. It is getting more and more popular to the kind of point where Persona 5 is getting nominated for Game of the Year in the America, which a few years ago Sony would never have achieved stuff like that. So yeah, I think a big thing about acquisitions is all about being careful and being smart with them. So like Microsoft and Bethesda, that's a massive move. A lot of big game titles will be exclusive to Microsoft potentially, or at least time exclusive, if not completely exclusive. So yeah, and Microsoft have re-strengthened their hand, especially in terms of IPs and game series they can use. But on the other hand, it can work out poorly, like with the example of BioWare. The fact that BioWare are struggling with their projects, and they're not having the kind of hit they used to. And every time they do have a kind of less than ideal result, they are kind of surrounded by rumours of closure. And in the poor, sad case of Bizarre Creations, they were actually shut down. Bizarre Creations are no more, which is a massive shame because they were good at what they did. It's more of a shame. But on the plus side, you got Criterion, who are renowned for the Burnout series, and they are now owned by EA, and they are doing all right. I think they are now in charge of the Need for Speed series. I would love to see like a more traditional Burnout game come back. Burnout Paradise I thought was alright, but I just didn't really get on the open world setting. Whereas Burnout 2, Burnout 3, that's kind of the kind of era I love. I love the crash modes in those games. I love the kind of gameplay, where it wasn't too overcomplicated, it wasn't too crazy, but it was a lot of fun. So Criterion are doing pretty well under EA, which is another acquisition they made. So I keep on throwing acquisitions in as I think about them, but this goes to show how things can work really well and other ones can be kind of less well received. I think it's luck of the draw maybe, and just depends how well your games hit, I think. Let me guys know in the comments, or like, let me tweet me what kind of acquisitions you were surprised by. What acquisitions do you think were the smart ones? Like, is there any of you looking forward to seeing what they do next? Any wish that hadn't been made, or any acquisitions you wish would be made? Lots of things to talk about there. So yeah, now moving on to things I've been playing in the last couple of weeks. Animal Crossing again, of course. So I'm checking pretty much every day, I think. I think it might potentially be one day I haven't gone by island. Like I said, we have got the full update coming next week. So good to keep an eye on that. Get those pumpkins going and all the other good stuff. And been playing more Tetris 99 as always. Bit of Avengers being played. Like I said, I'm really enjoying that. And of course, Super Mario 3D All Stars. Played some Mario 64 and some Mario Sunshine. I haven't loaded up Mario Galaxy yet. But yeah, but I've been having a lot of fun with that. Pretty cool stuff. But yeah, that kind of sums up my gaming for the last couple of weeks. Have you played anything on PlayStation? I haven't really booted that up recently, but I have got Fall Guys on there, which I really want to give a go to, go at. So yeah, I'll get stuck in Sardis soon. Yeah, a lot of stuff to look forward to in terms of gaming. We've also got my capture card up and running, so I have been doing gameplay videos. So please do check out my YouTube channel as Chris Reactor, all one word, and it's OR at the end. Yeah, so check out my gameplay. I've done some Tetris 99, some Mario. Done an island tour, Animal Crossing Island. But yeah, please do enjoy it, because if it goes well, we'll kind of look at expanding that and potentially do more streaming. To be honest, the ultimate goal is to get the Chris Talks Games thing to be YouTube and a podcast. So when I've got my Chris Reactor YouTube, I'll probably keep that more for reactions, and then do Chris Talks Games for gameplay videos and discussion videos and things like that. So yeah, it's all exciting times with that. But I just want to get a bit more hype behind my gameplay videos first. As always, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisLewis37. All my YouTube channels, all my YouTube videos are kind of shared on there as well. So easy way to track down my videos and YouTube and my Twitter all in one go. So yeah, please give me a follow at ChrisLewis37. Please do let me know what you think of the show, and let me know what you're enjoying, what you'd want to see more of. If you want to see more gameplay videos, like, let me know what games you want to see me playing. Yeah, I really want to do more gameplay videos, so I'm more than happy to play stuff with you, if it's Persona or Avengers or Fall Guys or any various Switch things. Yeah, I do want to get stuck in, so please do get in touch and let me know. And don't forget to check in next week with the Game Junkies podcast. Last episode they had was a pretty good one. It was their top three moments that made him cry in video games. Yeah, some interesting picks there. Some pretty cool picks. So always a fun show with them guys. And I'm sure they won't disappoint next week either. So make sure you check them out on the network. So with that said, that is me done for this show. Hope you enjoyed it. And please let me know any thoughts on the show. Like I say, any kind of gaming acquisitions you're a bit surprised about, or any like you'd like to see happen, or like any discussion about the acquisitions at all, please start a conversation on Twitter. Please at me. So until next time, guys, speak to you soon. Have a good one. Bye. Change my world.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.